It's somewhere up north. but it's good to be with you here this morning. Before we get into the Word of God, would you please join me in a time of prayer? Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we thank you so much that we are blessed to be here to assemble together in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. And Heavenly Father, it's been a privilege to meet this part of your family. We pray your blessings upon them. We pray for their minister, Tony Crane, and his family, that you will help heal them from their illness, Father. But we ask your blessing upon your word this morning, upon the message that you have laid on my heart, that, Father, we can be encouraged together because of your promises and your word and the lives of the people in the pages of the scriptures that could attest to the truth of your promises and your presence, that we can make, like David, a great declaration of faith, full of confidence and understanding. Father, we ask that you bless your word unto that end. For we praise you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please join me, if you would, to Psalms 27. I want to read the first verse. If you have opportunity to read this entire psalm, I would encourage you to do that. It's just a powerful psalm. I believe all scripture is powerful, amen? But I really love this psalm because in our day and age, it really speaks of a lot of hope and promise. And David here makes this great declaration of faith, beginning just reading verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Oh, may God bless his word. There have been many illustrations over time to explain what is meant by having faith. We as Christian people say we have faith in God. Amen? We as Christian people say we have faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? We believe the Word of God. And I hope and pray that you, like me, believe that the Word of God is the only and final revealed, inspired by God's His message to us. And aside from the Bible, there is no other authority. There is no other proclamation of authority other than the Word of God. Because the Word of God points us to the living Word of God, His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's who we need to look at. And that's who we need to listen to. You know, Jesus said, I do not come giving the words from myself, but I speak the words of him who sent me. And he said, the works that I do not do of myself, but of him who sent me. He came to show us the Father. And he is still showing us the Father through his Word and Holy Spirit today. But there have been many illustrations explaining what is meant by having faith. An old evangelist years ago put it this way. The Bible says that faith is a gift from God, and that is true. He said, but so is the air, but you have to breathe it in. It's not just enough to say, yes, the air is a gift from God, unless you breathe it in. Doesn't do us much good if we don't breathe it in, does it? So is bread, but you have to eat it to take it in. And so is water, but you have to drink it to take it in. Some people want some kind of miraculous feeling to overwhelm them, but that is not faith. Faith is not based upon feeling. Faith is based upon fact. And fact is, God loves us. Fact is, God wants to forgive us. Fact is, God sent his only Son. Fact is, Jesus died on the cross. Fact is, Jesus was buried. And on the third day after, fact, he rose again bodily from the tomb, just like he said he would. These are the facts of faith. Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, a faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the preacher of the local church. That's not what it says, is it? Faith comes, I just want to be sure you're awake. No, I'm just, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how faith comes. And David understood this. That is where faith comes from. It is not for me to sit down and wait for faith to come rushing over me with a strong sensation and experience, but it is for me to simply take God at his word, his complete word. David had been anointed as the next king of Israel, you will recall with me. But he was not permitted to take the throne yet because King Saul was still on the throne, and King Saul became very insanely jealous and angry over David and his popularity with the people because he had fought the Philistines, you remember that? And so he became very enraged, and he sought to seek out David's life. And this caused much hardship and heartache, as you can imagine, for David. And David had to run because King Saul was after him. And yet, through all of this, David could still make a bold proclamation of faith. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? I'd like us to focus in, if we could, for just a few minutes on verse 1. We'd like to break this down. Sometimes, I don't know about you, and I hope you're not like me in this regard. Sometimes I just skim over words. I'm reading the Word of God, and I'm always in a hurry to get somewhere else. And God has to say, Randy, slow down. I've got some real nuggets here for you right here in just a few words. And I'd like to share that with you this morning. David says, first of all, in verse 1, he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The word Lord here is interesting because in the Hebrew, it is actually translated Jehovah. Jehovah, which is God's personal name. David spoke the Lord God's personal name. And you might say, okay, well, yeah, he was talking to God. But you have to understand the setting in which David came from. David was a Jew. He was of the Hebrew thinking. And many of the Jews of the day would not dare to speak the Lord God's personal name because they took the third commandment out of the Ten Commandments that we find in Exodus chapter 20. They took it literally and they took it beyond what God had intended, to not take the Lord's name in vain. This made them nervous, and so to take all precautions that they could, they wouldn't even speak the personal name of God. They would use other names so that they would not take a chance of being guilty of having the wrong attitude or spirit in pronouncing and saying the Lord God Jehovah. And so they would say the uncaused one. That's in the ancient Hebrew. The uncaused one. And you know what that means? Nothing caused God to exist. Nothing caused God to exist. He just always was and is and will be. And so he called him, they would call him the uncaused one, or they wouldn't say anything at all. But David did speak his name. Why? Not because of arrogance, but because he had absolute confidence. Listen to this. He had absolute confidence in his God. He had history with God and had witnessed time and time again how God helped him and preserved his life and kept his word. Do we have absolute confidence in God today? I know we would love to say so, and bless your hearts. I certainly hope so. But if you're like me, and again, I'm so sorry if you are, some days I don't always have the confidence in God that I ought to have. Perhaps you understand that and the struggles that that brings as we deal with everyday life. I always come back because God is all that there is that matters to me. But David had history with God and had witnessed over and over again. And so when he spoke his holy name, his personal name, the Lord, it was because he spoke it with affection and respect and love and honor. He acknowledged the Lord's supremacy over his life by calling him Lord Jehovah. He had an intimate relationship with God. And later in Scripture, God referred to David as a man after his own heart. And so that's why he could say the Lord. And normally I would skim right over that, but then diving in and studying and breaking it down, this is significant. It speaks right away of the personal relationship that David had with God. An intimate relationship that he loved and cherished. Oh, how important it is for us today that we don't ever allow ourselves to get to the point of such discouragement that we forget to cherish the name of God. Be encouraged. Don't ever allow yourselves to get so discouraged, no matter what, that we forget to cherish the name of God. We have history with God also, don't we? If we didn't have history with God, why are you here? Why would you even take the time to bother coming out? Why did you take time a few minutes ago to and I appreciated the brother's meditation this morning, by the way, breaking it down like that. Why would you take time to meet about the Lord's table if you didn't believe in what it meant? And the fact that as we did, we were proclaiming the Lord's death together until he comes. And so David could say the Lord. And the next point, I'm so excited, I'm just chomping at the bit here. The next one are the two little words, is my. And I might say, Brother Randy, come on. I see bigger issues here than the little words, is my. But you can't get to the bigger issues until you go through these two words. You can't get to the light and the salvation part. You can't get to the fact that we have nobody we should be afraid of because of this unless we acknowledge the is and the my. Bear with me. The word is, that little connective thought, is displaying and is displaying the concrete confidence of David's conviction of who the Lord Jehovah is. Is. No question there. No maybe, no possibility. No possibly, no maybe or might be, but is. It's concrete. It is solid. It is not wishy-washy. I hate writings that, I shouldn't say hate. I strongly dislike writings that are so wishy-washy. Say it. And I love the Word of God for that because it says it. It doesn't beat around the bush. Don't you just love it when somebody takes 3 miles to get around to one point? You know, bless their hearts. I don't want you to be nervous talking to me now. But is concrete. And then notice the little word my. David was claiming personal ownership of the Lord. How many times perhaps do we forget that God wants us to claim him personally every day? Sometimes Mondays are pretty mundane, but God gave us and renewed our breath of life. He's mine, and I'm his. Is my personal ownership, my Lord, my sovereign, and David had fully submitted to the Lord God Jehovah. And we can claim that confidence of is and personal ownership, my Lord. And then let's look and see what that takes in. Light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and salvation. And understanding that when David penned these words, he had the most horrendous experience of his life. If his son Absalom wasn't out after him, then King Saul was. He had a lot of enemies. The Philistines were always plaguing him. He had enemies. And he took comfort that the Lord is my light so I can see clearly what lies before me. And not only what lies before me, but clearly what is here around me now. The Lord is my light. You see, we talk about how light illumines the darkness, don't we? And that is true. I imagine if you turned off the lights here, would it be as bright in here? No. Light illumines the darkness, but equally important, not only does it illumine the darkness, but it exposes things hidden in the darkness. Have you ever gone into a room, you weren't in the dark and you weren't real familiar with the layout, and when you turn on the switch, you're surprised to find out what was really in that room? You maybe wouldn't have guessed what was in that room had you not had that experience before until you turned on the light, because it exposes it. It exposes things as they are. And the light of God illumines the darkness because it exposes the things hidden in the darkness. David wrote in Psalms 119 and verse 105, I know this is a verse that you could all probably recite. He said, your word. Notice what he directed it about. Your word, God's word. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It exposes what's in my pathway. It exposes what is there. The word of God is the only thing that can guide us in our life unto his salvation. Satan can't work in the light. And I am surprised how many preachers in this great land of ours don't believe in a devil. Amen? They don't believe in a devil. The devil is just some poetic expression to explain the presence of God. God doesn't need Satan to explain his presence. God is. God doesn't need anybody to explain his presence. He is and always will be. And David had confidence in this. Satan can't work in the light because his deeds are evil and they're meant to destroy us. And the word of God exposes his schemes, his snares, his traps that are intended to destroy us. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And then he says, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? If the Lord is my light and salvation, whom shall I be afraid of? Who could possibly do me harm but what the Lord won't take care of me? Jesus wrote in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, he said, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, and after that have no more than they can do, but I will show whom you should fear. Fear him. After he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. And brother and sister, besides that, there is nobody else we should be afraid of. There is nobody we should be afraid of. Other than that part of God, if we're walking outside of the glory of Christ and his shed blood for us, God is the only one we had better be afraid of. Because God gave life, and it is God who can take the life. He has that final authority in all things. David recognized that God was the strength of his life. His focus was on God. God was the reason that David could do anything, and David understood that. He understood that without him, he couldn't do anything. Jesus taught in John chapter 15 and verse 5, in agreement with this understanding of David, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. We can't do anything but for the strength of God in us. We can't even get up in the morning unless God so ordains it. Who do you think it is that gives us our breath of life every day? Who is it that renews that breath of life? Who keeps that breath of life going until he calls us home? And then our faith is made sight. God. And without him, we can't do anything. And with him, there's nothing we can't do that he so wants us to do. So in acknowledging the Lord God as the absolute source of daily life and ability, who should be more feared and respected? Who deserves our allegiance more than God? And yet God in his very nature wants to be Father to us. It's kind of like we have to understand the relationship. You need to respect him just because that's what he said. And if he said it, that's what we need to do or not do. And then once we accept that understanding, then we come into that loving father-parent relationship, child relationship. God loves us, but there has to be understanding. Let's just look briefly at verses 2 and 3. What we see in these two verses, David is describing all the different scenarios that have occurred to him, and is explaining that even though if these things were to happen to him, that he would still not be afraid. He would still, as at the end of verse 3, he would still be confident. Confident in what? Confident in his Lord God, Jehovah. That even though if the enemies gather around him and a whole army gathers around him and war rises up against him, which in David's life actually did happen, he was talking about what he knew. And yet his confidence never wavered because God always brought him through. Because even when he sinned, he repented and came back to the way of God. I think of King Solomon, David's son. He made that wonderful, wise proclamation, and when the Lord said, what one thing would you like to have? He says, give me a heart that is full of wisdom and discerning, because who can govern these people without it? And God was so impressed by his request, you recall that with me, that he blessed him beyond measure. And then Solomon got a little belligerent and left the way of the Lord for many years, but he came back at the end. And he summed up, as you see in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, in the last verse, he summed up what the whole duty of man was. That all boiled down to two things: to love God and obey his commands. To love God, to fear him, to love him, to reverence him, and to obey his commands. David was no stranger to evil rising up against him, and yet he never lost confidence in God. And in Psalms 119, verse 89, he records these words: forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your word is settled in heaven. It's solid, unchanging. It meant the same, it means the same today as it did then. It'll mean the same tomorrow as it did today. The word of the Lord is settled in heaven. And if it's settled in heaven, that's it. There's no other contest. There's no other complacency against it. The word of the Lord is settled. In other words, we can count on it. We can depend on it. God will not contradict his word. And David knew this. Satan is always trying to crush our hearts and spirits. He wants us to lose heart. You know what Satan's greatest weapon against the Christian is? And then directly against the church, because if you affect the Christians, who are the members of the body of Christ who make up the church, then you affect the church eventually. His greatest weapon against the Christian today is not temptation, but discouragement. Now, don't underestimate the power of temptation. I don't mean that. I don't mean that we should just turn a blind eye to that. That's not what I'm saying. But when you think about it, the greatest weapon that Satan can use against you and I to pull us out of that confident relationship with God is discouragement by looking at life all around us rather than beyond. Isn't it? Discouragement. David understood all the attempts that Satan threw his way to discourage him. But he never gave up. and having confidence of the Lord is my light and my salvation. And brothers and sisters, today we need to take that same encouragement. The Lord still is our light and our salvation. And because of that, whom shall we be afraid? The Lord is the strength of our lives. Of whom shall we be afraid? Think about it. Think about it. Take it in. Let it fester. The Lord, not of this world, but in this world. The Lord is my light and I and our salvation. I think about Peter, bless his heart, out with the other disciples in the boat on the storm-tossed sea, late at night, and Jesus comes walking out to them, and he says, Lord, if it's you, let me come out of the boat onto the water to you. And Jesus, I love how Jesus said this. He said, come. Calm, confidence, come. And you recall the scripture with me. Peter got out of the boat, and as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he walked above the turmoil of the storm. And I'm sure he got splashed by the waves, but it didn't deter him. It didn't bring him down. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he didn't sink. When did he begin to sink? When he decided to take his eyes off Jesus, take matters into his own hands by looking down at the waves and listening to the roar of the storm, then that's when he began to sink. And it wasn't until he called out again, Lord, save me, that Jesus reached down and grabbed his hand and pulled him up. How many times do we find ourselves in that same circumstance? As long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, the storm will still rage, and we might get splattered by it a little bit, but it doesn't stop our walking toward him. And it's only when we take our eyes off Jesus that the storm begins to get real and personal and evades our life, and we begin to sink. It's no different for us today. The Lord is our light and our salvation. He is the strength of our lives. Of whom then shall we be afraid? Absolutely no one. Because you see, we're not relying on our wisdom. We're not relying on our strength, but on the Lord's. That's who we're listening to. That's who we're relying on. As part of the church here at Ferris, take heart. Be encouraged. The Lord is still your light and your salvation. Let nothing bring fear into your hearts. To the leadership, lead boldly in the love and example of Jesus Christ. Don't let anything deter you because the Lord is your light and your salvation. And to the people, follow your leaders. Let the Lord be your light and your salvation as well. May God bless you. Make your own strong declaration of faith, just like David. It's still real today. And you know what? I suspect it will be until he comes. Because then our faith will be made sight. This morning, if you are without Jesus Christ, we're going to have Brother Gerald is going to come up and lead us in our hymn of invitation. Think seriously about our lives. Where are we with God today? What can we do to move closer to him? If you're without Christ, don't delay. Don't delay. May God bless you.